Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here is Elevate Life Church Youth Pastor, Willard Gable.
Ready for the word today? It's a blessing. It really is. It really is. And we talked last week about the summer barbecue, and Pastor Sergio's message was that all dogs don't go to heaven. All people don't go to heaven. And that there's a Broadway, right? And it's not the Broadway over there by 65th. It's the Broadway and the narrow way. Come on. Right? And this Broadway, we have all these different religion and all these different belief systems. But over here, we have Jesus, and we have this narrow way. And we started barbecuing some of that thinking that we're all getting to heaven. Because the Bible says that Jesus tells us there will be wheat and there will be tares. In the church, there will be people who will be saved. There will be people who Jesus says, depart from me. But I want to help you today because as a pastor here in this house, it's my job to lead you on the way. And as you read the book of Acts and Paul, as he started his ministry, he always referred to the gospel and what he preached as the way. He said, anything else that is preached to you, let it be cursed. Jesus is the way. But when we follow the life of Paul, he refers to something that he calls the race. See, it's not enough to just give your prayer and say, God, I accept you in my heart, and then you start this race, and then you just stop. It's not enough. The Bible says that it's those who endure to the end will be saved. Not those who just said a prayer and stopped. And religion has messed up so many Christians' thinking that you can just say a prayer and go back to your old way of living. And we're deceived. We're being lied to. And today, the Lord gave me a word for you and for me and for all of us, is that even though we may have gone off track, we need to get back in the race. We need to get back to whatever it is that God is calling me to be. I'm in recovery programs often. I remember I used to sit in the back corner when I first started chasing sobriety, right? I didn't really have a relationship with God, and I started my relationship with God when I just prayed to my dad who had passed away. I didn't know any better. But God loved me. He met me where I'm at. But I remember I sat in that back corner when I first started. When I sat in that back corner, I used to look around because it didn't make sense to me. I had just went through hell. I was demon-possessed. I was hallucinating. I was seeing things. Heroin and meth had my mind in a psychosis I should have never been in. Not being under God's protection opened the doors for the enemy to move into my life. And us as Christians have to protect what it is on our walk. We have to stay under God's protection. And when I used to sit in that corner, I used to always think, man, why ain't they taking this serious? Like, I just almost died. Why are people laughing and joking? And granted, there's some people that really work a program and they get that happiness, right? That joyous, that freedom. There's Christians that you see, they go, man, why are they so happy all the time? Right? But then there's those other people that are walking around in the recovery and you just go, man, you missed it. Right? And I never understood why they didn't take it seriously. And then now as I've come into the church, It's a very similar mentality. Very similar. We have Christians that have become so content with their walk with God that they just sit back and they just think everything's okay. And they're deceived. They just think everything's okay. I got it. I got heaven. I said my prayer. I'm in. And I'm here to tell you today it's not true. We look here in the book of Acts, chapter 20. And Paul, when you study the life of Paul, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But when you study his life, he always spoke about this thing called the race. What is this race? This race is the walk that we're on with God. It's this calling, it's this purpose, it's this destiny that God has called us into when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. God goes, okay, now you've accepted, now the race begins. Now the real work starts. And many of times when we first start our walk, the first thing God's going to do is he's going to pull you back into a wilderness season. And what he's going to do is he's going to start beginning to work on your character. And he's going to start changing the way you think. He's going to start letting you know. You're going to have the Holy Spirit and he's going to start saying, hey, that old life you used to live, that's not what we do. That's not who I am. You see, when I first got saved, I wasn't perfect. None of us are perfect. But you see, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and when I said yes to my destiny, and when I said yes to my race, I took it serious. Why? Because Jesus takes it serious. Jesus takes it serious when he tells us that if you do not do the will of my Father in heaven, you do not get heaven. That's a powerful, sobering statement. He said, you can go to church. Translation, you could prophesy. You can cast out demons. And then he says, but depart from me, you who never knew me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine casting out demons? Come on. Can you imagine watching somebody get set free and God used you as the minister to do it? But then when you meet him in heaven, he's like, I never knew you. All the work we do with these outreaches, come on, y'all. We put in work in the outreaches. Can you imagine getting to heaven? God saying, depart from me? You see, we need to take the word a little bit more serious. Because if we don't, we can miss heaven. And I don't want none of you to miss heaven, let alone me miss heaven. Because I can make a mistake and depart from the faith myself. I'm just like you. I got to walk this thing out just like you. I got to go through same temptations, the same trials, the same things that you have to go through. We have to go through it. But see, I made a commitment to God that I'm going to do this thing till the end. And it's only those who do the will of the Father that are going to make it. So we see here in Acts chapter 20, we see Paul, and he writes this. He says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Church, I can't run your race for you. As much as I want to see other people sober in recovery, as much as I want to see people walk the walk, their Christian walk, how they're supposed to do it, I can't walk it for you. This is something that you have to walk yourself. But God loves us so much, he doesn't leave us hanging. God sets godly authority in the church to guide us on our walk. God sets brothers and sisters here in the house to pick each other up in the time of need. Amen? Amen. We need each other, church. Yes. We can't do this alone. And the enemy is going to try to create you, try to get you to pull back to be alone. So if you like being alone, if you like not socializing with people, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. Because the enemy's trying to pull you away. And can I share something with you? The only thing that Jesus is building on earth is his church. So when Jesus says it's only those who do the will of my Father, you better be in church building the house of God. Yes, we have jobs. Go out into your workplace. Use your job as a tool to build the kingdom. God gave you that job. God gave you that business idea. God made you become an entrepreneur so that you can finance the kingdom. So that you could be the one that signs off the check and goes up to Jesse and Anie and said, here's all the money for the outreach next year. Come on. Amen. The Bible says that we are blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Come on, how many of you want to sign some checks? I do. I don't want to be the person just receiving the grant. I want to be the person writing the grant to people. Come on. And God wants that for you too. But can I share something with you? If you don't run your own race, we'll never get there. So what I need from all you guys is we all need to start running our own race. Don't be content. Don't be laid back. Don't sit there and just think everything's good and everything's okay. Run your race. Paul always walked and he always said he kept a clear conscience before God and man. How many of you have some loved ones that aren't saved? I don't know about you, but sometimes that beats my conscience when I don't share the gospel with them. And what I have learned through studying the life of Paul's ministry is that my job as a Christian, the will of God, the Bible says that he gives us the ministry of reconciliation, which means we need to go get them too and bring them into the kingdom. So if you didn't know what the will of the Father is, it's wherever you're at in life, the circle of people that you can touch, you reach out and you bring them into the church, into the kingdom and get them saved. And what I've learned to keep a clear conscience before God and man is to reach out even when fear tries to grip me. Because I'm scared about how this person's going to receive what it is that I'm telling them. Because I'm too afraid or too worried about what they think of me. Come on, it's not easy. Jesus said that the narrow road is a difficult one, right? That's what Jesus said. So we see here in Acts chapter 20, we see Paul talking about this race. And then we see in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And here it is. And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. I can't run the same race as you. Your race is going to look different than mine. My schedule looks different than yours. I might have availability to serve Pastor Sergio and Tina throughout the week, but some of you guys got bills to pay. Come on. So whatever it is, God has marked out a race for you and I. We see Bishop Methuselah oversees over 200 churches in the Philippines. That's amazing, right? She received her reward in eternity. She ran her race. Her race is finished. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So before we say yes to God, God already did it. And then he came back and he said, all right, son or daughter, now I want you to start it. It's already done. All the provision, all the healing that you need, everything that you need, all the grace is already provided. God already had all the churches mapped out for her that he wanted her to do. But you see, now there's a responsibility that comes with that. The baton has been passed. What I want you to understand today, church, is it's our time. The baton has been passed to Elevate Life Church. Oh, you guys ain't hearing me today. I said the baton has been passed to Elevate Life Church. The baton has been passed to you. Jesus is building this church. Elevate Life Church will leave a legacy that South Sacramento will never forget.
and I want to be a part of it.
The baton is in your hand. The baton is in my hand. And then when we meet Jesus, he's going to say, well, what did you do with it? You guys have the grace of the gospel, the good news, salvation. Paul often refers to, like I said, the way. We talked last week. There is only one way, and that is through Christ. It breaks my heart. I went to a store the other day. I was getting ready to share at a recovery meeting. There's a gentleman behind the counter. He asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm sharing at a recovery meeting. I'm sure he gets a lot of guys. There's a store right there. But he started talking about all the different religions. And he shared his with me. And I shared. I said, man, I believe in Jesus. But as I'm sitting there, my heart's breaking for this man. Because he's a lost soul. He's been deceived by the enemy. He thinks that there's just one God and we all know. No. It is only through Christ. The Bible says he's the way, the life, and the truth. So the next time I go in that store, I'm going to be believing God's going to give me something to love on that guy. Amen. Because anything we don't do, if we don't do it in love, it's we're running our race in vain. It doesn't matter. How many of you guys want to step? God cares about the details of each and every step on this race, church. He cares about the details of the steps. And when God can trust you with the gospel, when God can trust you with people, it's more valuable than material things in this earth. To see this kid, his mother, his father, come back together to build. It reminded me of the story of the Samaritan woman when the disciples tried to bring Jesus food and he said, no, you don't know the food that I get. It's a spiritual food. You see, and we try to push you out there to serve because when you experience these things, it does something to you inside that is an undeniable experience with God. And what does it do? It helps build our trust. It helps build our trust with God. So run your race, whatever it may be. But we can't run our race if we're not reading our word. You cannot run your race if you're not reading your word, because revelation knowledge is the only thing that's going to save you from destruction. That's why God has placed pastors in the house that have revelation knowledge, that have good Bible doctrine under their belts, so that when life hits the fan for you, you can go to them and ask for help. Even more importantly, you can go to them and ask for guidance. Amen? Let's keep going. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 7 says this. Here's Paul. Like I said, he's been talking about this race. What is this race? He says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering. He's saying, I have been pouring my life out for the gospel. I have been pouring into people. I have been pouring into churches. I have given my whole life over to the gospel. And then he says, and the time for my departure is near. He's getting ready to receive his reward in heaven. And he says this, I have fought the good fight. Can I share something with you? It's a fight to run your race. If Jesus said it's difficult, that narrow is the gate and difficult is the way, and then you have Paul teaching us here in 2 Timothy saying, I have fought the good fight. It's a battle. You know why? Because the temptations of the world like to pull. And the minute you say yes to God, here comes that old friend that you used to know. Talking about, remember what we used to do? The enemy's got workers too. But come on, so does God. And we have all power and authority over the devil. He cannot win our race. He cannot stop us from any obstacle in the kingdom of God for us not to reach the end of our race. But temptations, lusts,
Material things try to pull our hearts away from God. So he says, I have fought the good fight. And you ready? Here it is. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. I want each and every single one of us at the sound of my voice today, in church and online, to finish their race. I can't finish it for you, church, but I sure can help you along the way. And I'll tell you what, we got some good, strong people at Elevate Life Church that can lift you up in some times that you need. Because I'm finishing my race, and I want you to come along with me. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says this. Paul's describing, he's talking about an athlete, and it says this. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? Okay, let me repeat that. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? Come on, there's movement involved, church. You can't be a Christian that just sits in the church, content, sit back, cool, and you're not involved in the church serving. There is movement in a race. There is movement in the race. He says this, and all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. So he's saying, look, church, focus on me. Run your race. And run your race like you're running in first place. Don't worry about how they're running their race. Don't judge people on what they're doing. Don't judge them on the decisions they're not making. Don't judge them on what they're doing. Let them run their race. Be the encouragement. Edify your brother and sister in the church. Build them up to run their race. Don't tear them down. The race is already hard enough. The race is already hard enough, church. But he says, do you know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. And I was thinking, many of you have competed. I used to play baseball, played a little bit of college baseball and things like that. So many of us used to compete. But when I started thinking about this scripture, when I started thinking about this a little bit, I started thinking into it. And I thought, you know what it made me think of? It made me think of Barry Bonds. Pete Rose. Come on, anybody know those names? Some of you guys are looking at me with just stale faces like, what? Barry Bonds leads the Major League Baseball in the most home runs ever hit. Pete Rose is one of the ones that leads Major League Baseball with the most hits. But you see, we must compete, the Bible says, according to the rules. We must compete according to the rules. Barry Bonds and Pete Rose have ran their race in Major League Baseball. And one of the biggest goals for anybody that plays sports is they want the Hall of Fame. Come on. One of the biggest goals for Christians, we want heaven. We want to be with Jesus in heaven. But you see, what happened with Barry Bonds and Pete Rose is they didn't run the race according to the rules. So now when the Hall of Fame votes are coming, they're getting lawyers. They're begging their way into heaven. I mean, into the Hall of Fame. Come on. Is that going to be us? Begging Jesus? And he goes, depart from me. I never knew you. Sorry, Barry, you can have all the lawyers you want. But you did steroids. You're not getting in. Sorry, Pete, you gambled too much on your own team. You're not getting in. Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness. The Bible says sin is lawlessness. Let me read it to you. The Bible says whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. When I read that scripture, when Jesus said that, it stopped me in my tracks. And I go, well, I better study this thing because Jesus isn't playing. He ain't playing when he says you better forgive others or you ain't getting forgiven. See, we just read it. This is what we want to do. It's like somebody that rides down Florence Road, right? And you got the speed limit, 45, 35 miles an hour, right? But you just turn away from the speed limit and you're doing 120 and you get pulled over. Cop pulls you over and goes, "Why are you doing 120? "Oh, well, I didn't see the speed limit." You're still getting the ticket. It doesn't excuse us. Because we don't want to read our Bible, it doesn't excuse us of what Jesus said. That's why we try to give this to you and put it out so that you see it. Because I don't want you to run your race in vain. We need to run our race with purpose. So can I help you guys today? I got a little bit of your time. I got the second service, so I'm going to go a little bit longer just for you guys because you guys love me, okay? Just for you guys. I'm going to give you some keys as a Christian to run your race effectively. So pull out your notes. We talked last week. Don't be afraid. We got notebooks. We got cell phones. Come on, pull them out. Because these are keys that you need to know how to run your race effectively. How to run your race strong. How to run your race with passion. How to run your race with authority. How to run your race to where when people look at you, they go, "Man, how does he make it look so easy?" Come on, you guys ever seen those people? You're like, "Man, he ain't never mad at nothing." Somebody said something to him one day and boy, he just turned the other cheek and he was gone. Come on, don't you want that to be you? I do. I do. So number one is this: effective ways to run your race effectively is number one. And many of us know this, but it's you have to be planted in the house of God. And we see it in the book of Psalms. This is why on August the 7th, we have our new members class. It's because of this scripture right here. Yeah. This is what the Bible says. It says this. Psalms 92, verse 12 through 13. "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord." There it is. "They will flourish in the courts of our God." In order to flourish on this race, in order to have power, in order to run this race strong, you must be planted in the house of God. Amen. This is God's design. These are kingdom keys. Kingdom is God's way of doing things. This is the way God wants it done. We just don't come up with tithes and offerings. We just don't come up with new members. There is a purpose behind everything we do that's biblical. Amen. Everything we do. And we must understand this, is our pastors have a responsibility to give account to God for us. They have a responsibility. So we have to be careful with offense towards our pastors. We have to be careful for offense towards each other. Because that is one of the ways that the devil is going to try to take you off your path and you not finish your race. We'll go into that a little bit more. But number two is this. This is a big one. And this is where I see a lot of Christians fail. We're good. We'll get planted. But we don't like to be told what to do. So number two is this. You have to submit to godly authority. You have to. Church, you have to let somebody into your life and let them know what you're going through or how can we help you. And if I can't help you, there's a good chance that I know somebody that will. Or know somebody that knows somebody that can get you help. And that's what we do. But you have to submit to godly authority. And we see it in Genesis chapter 3. Right in the beginning, Adam and Eve sin. Adam and Eve sinned, and then the Bible says this, "Then the eyes of them both were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." How come Adam and Eve covered themselves when they disobeyed God? Why would you cover yourself? You came out from under God's protection. When it rains, what do? We pull out an umbrella so we don't get hit by the rain. Oh, come on, church. We stay under God's protection so that the trials of life don't tear us down. But here's the problem is nobody wants to be told what to do. And can I share something with you? I didn't want to either. That's why I almost led myself straight to hell. That's why I almost died. And that's the truth. It's because when my dad passed away, I had this messed up thinking that my dad is dead, so no man on this earth will ever be able to tell me what to do again. One of the biggest mistakes I've ever made is no guidance. Nobody looking over my life to watch over me that God has placed. But I kept a mentality that said, I ain't listening to nobody. And the Bible says that when you turn your heart away from the Lord, the spiritual blinders go up and you can't see. You can't see when you turn your heart away from the Lord. So we must stay submitted to godly authority. And we see here a promise in Job 36, 11 and 2. Let me show it to you real quick. This is a promise of what God is saying. When we protect ourselves, when we stay under God's umbrella, it says this, if they obey and serve him. Two requirements to be under God's protection. Obey and serve him. That's why we try to get you involved in church. That's why we try to get you to come to these outreach. It keeps you under God's protection, church. Life will get better. It'll protect you from the fiery darts of the enemy. The Bible says that the devil roars around like a roaring lion. It protects you from him. But you must be submitted. If they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. How many of you want to be prospering on this race? How many of you want to be content with life and have a peace in the middle of the storm when you don't know what's going on and people are looking at you going, man, you're going through this. You don't have enough finances. You're going through a divorce. But how come you got a peace? You got a peace that I don't have? And then, bam, the door is open for the gospel. I want to be that person. Maybe not with the divorce, sorry. But this is why it's important, singles. I have developed a mentality that whatever my pastors tell me, I'm in agreement with it. Whether I like it or not, or whether what my minds tell me or my emotions tell me, it doesn't matter. They have authority over my life. If they tell me you're not ready to date in this season, then I don't question it. Even if I don't like it, I don't question it. If I bring somebody to them and I say, what do you think about her? And they go, I don't think so. I don't think it's the right time. Hands up. All right, let's keep going. Let's keep running my race. I stay submitted. And what happens is God's going to honor the authority that he placed in this house. Because what did I say? They're responsible to answer for God. And we take that serious at Elevate Life Church. That's why we need you to submit to godly authority in order to run an effective race for your life. It says, and they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. But if they do not listen, they will perish by the sword and die without knowledge. You have the choice. You have the choice. God lays it out for us. Come on. We can't turn our heads to the speed limit sign. That's what the Bible says. And I'm trying to get you to see, to open your eyes, to look back at these scriptures, and to take Jesus seriously about what he's trying to tell us. Because like a loving father, he's trying to get something to us. He's not trying to take anything from us. Jesus says, to lose your life, you will gain it. Jesus has to outgive us. We're not a part of a democracy, church. We're a part of a kingdom. Jesus is the king. It's your choice whether you want to be a part of the world or a part of the kingdom. Kingdom is God's way of doing things. You keep doing your own thing, self-will, you'll run yourself right into the ground. There's a kingdom, church. We don't have a say. But when we lay down our life, Jesus says, I have to outgive you and give you a better one. I have to. Ever since I've laid down, even before I used drugs, even before then, my life doesn't compare to the life I have now. My life doesn't compare to the places I've seen. It doesn't compare to the relationships I have now with people in the church. Genuine love, authentic people who care about me. Not those friends that are fake and pretend that they love you. Not those friends trying to pull you back into temptation. They don't love you. Can't tell me you love me and you're trying to put poison in my body and give me alcohol or give me a cigarette. What? They don't love you. I don't know who needed to hear that today, but they don't love you. He does. He does. Number three, you need to allow the godly leadership that you submit to speak into your life. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And we look here in Galatians chapter 2. He submitted to leadership. He says, then after 14 years, Paul has been running his race. He's at the 14th year. Some of us have been running this race a long time and never have checked in. I think it's time, church, we do a checkup. Where am I at with God? Where am I at in my race? Am I just going through this thing, going through the motions? That ain't no fun. There's nothing in that. Am I just putting on a persona? Am I just walking in and out because I want to do good? I don't want that for you, church. He says this, after 14 years of running his race, look at Paul. He says, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation. If you are not reading your word, this is why we push you there. Because God can speak to your life in your current situation that we have no idea of what's going on. God will speak right to it and you'll go, that word in that Bible is for me. But you see, Paul got that. He received a revelation. And here it is. Meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders in the church. So Paul's running his race and he goes, hold on. I just got a revelation. God told me I need to go over here to Jerusalem and I need to do my checkup. Let me make sure what I'm preaching is the right gospel. See, God operates through people. So Paul goes to Jerusalem. He goes, guys, the leaders of the church, am I doing the same thing? Am I preaching the gospel? I presented to them the gospel that I am preaching among the Gentiles. You and I are the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure, here it is, I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. 14 years of ministry. Paul's still looking back. He's still looking back. And he's going, my life and what God called me to do and be has a purpose. Earlier I read about the cloud of witnesses. Paul's one of those witnesses watching us run our race. See, church, we only have a certain amount of time that we're here. The minute you heard the gospel, the baton was passed to you. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Are you running with a purpose? If you're not, now's the time for a checkup. Now's the time we can help you. Now's the time that you call or text one of the pastors. Can I meet with you? What do I need to do to walk with God? What do I need to do to get to the next level? What do I need to do to get out of that temptation? What do I need to do to stop running the streets with those old people? What do I need to do? And then you go do it. There has to be proof in your race. Just don't get the prayer and you're in. It doesn't happen. And I'm going to read it to you right here and we're going to close. It says this. He says, not everyone to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And here it is. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. As Christians, we can't be living in the world. Can't be doing what the world does. Listen, it's okay where you're at. God understands. He understands where you're at. He knows the trial. He knows it's hard. He's walked through it. That's the only reason he can have us walk through it. Because any good leader who's going to lead you is going to do it first and show you the way. And Jesus is the only way. And he says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And we read, it says, sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. But we have to be careful, church, for offense. Because offense will get you to depart from the faith. What you must understand is this: there's a process to becoming offended. You just don't become offended. It doesn't just happen. There's a process. First, you become displeased. Then you become resentful. You become angry. You become mad. And then when you become resentful, it splits two ways. One of the two ways, you go back to sin. You go back to lawlessness. You go back to lawlessness when you become offended. Right now, there's a spirit of offense that is trying to hit our church like it's never have before. But you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it in a negative light or a positive light. The way I see it is, I say, bring it, devil. Because what you just did is you exposed your hand. Because we're creeping up on that 300 mark. And I don't know if you've noticed, but our churches, our services are getting bigger. And he don't like it. The devil don't like it. Guard yourself from offense. It can cause you to depart from the faith. You can miss your purpose. You go back to sin or you become bitter. Offense then will give birth to pride. Offense will give birth to pride. And pride sounds like this. I'm way older than that pastor up there. He's only 33. What has he got to say to me to help me with my life? He ain't been married. Go ahead, look straight. You're not guilty. Trying to help somebody. Pride. It'll block you from the gift God has given me to give to you. You won't receive the blessing. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to pray for a couple people. Some of you today maybe have never had the opportunity to have the baton passed to you. And today, as a minister of the gospel, I want to give you the opportunity and give you the invitation to start running your race.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.